Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara, pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams. And Vince, we now head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline for a very special guest and a good friend of the program.
That's right. Friend of the program is his favorite part of our typical intro and the title that we give him. He is also, in addition to friend of the show, a sports attorney and co-host of the Conduct Detrimental podcast, and does so much as a guest, a relied upon tremendous guest on many of the national networks, and a proud member of hashtag Bills Mafia as well, with the Buffalo Bills in the Final Four. He is at Sports Law Lust, Dan Lust. Dan, Vince, John, I guess it's not too late to say Happy New Year. Happy New Year. How are you?
I'm good, guys, and I appreciate the Bills shout-out. It's been a very big couple weeks for Bills Mafia. As they say, no one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Hey, you could definitely hear the 6,700 or whatever it was. They were loud and proud and certainly justified in doing so there. Buffalo, what'd you think of the small crowd making an impact in that game?
Well, we'll pump the brakes on the fact that the 6,700 alone are the ones emanating that incredible amount of noise. I think there's some artificial sweeteners in there, but you know, we'll take the win, and I think it aided with some false starts and whatnot in the red zone. But I'll take the win and bring on Mahomes.
Absolutely. All right, let's get into it. There's so many different layers of this University of Tennessee issue and situation. So we'll start with the firing of Jeremy Pruitt, along with two assistant coaches and seven other staff members by the University of Tennessee. And then Jeremy Pruitt has, according to reports, lawyered up as well. Just give me your reaction on this big separation between Tennessee and Jeremy Pruitt, and what you know about Tennessee desiring to get out of this firing for cause without paying that really hefty buyout.
So a couple things, and you know, from and I'm sure everyone listening to this is familiar, obviously, with Pruitt. I mean, it hasn't been the most successful tenure. I think it's 16-19 overall. I think last season was like 3-9. So in most of these contracts, you're going to have coaches fired left and right, and it's usually done without cause. And you see these really, we'll say, golden parachutes. Guys get millions of dollars on their way out, and they're fired not for cause, just because the team didn't really perform as well. For cause is generally, you know kind of it when you see it. If someone you do something inappropriate at work, or in this context, you know, in an NCAA investigation were to result or violations were to result, maybe that's a version where you should be fired for cause. What I was surprised in, and I think objectively caught a lot of the football world off guard, just 4 months ago he had agreed to a contract extension, and then from there you turn around and members of the staff are getting chopped off left and right, Fulmer's stepping down. I'm not exactly sure what happened, but I guess the one caveat, I know about a year ago there was a law firm hired to investigate the University of Tennessee, and for, we'll say, 8 months, guys, there was nothing that came up because they agreed to the contract extension. So I'm not sure what could have come up in just this last month or so to really do an about-face 180 degrees after 8 months of the investigation.
Wow, so interesting. So there, Tennessee was investigated prior to Jeremy Pruitt getting his contract extension, and that's why they went through and gave it to him? Is that what you're saying?
That's my understanding from the reports that I've read, that there was an investigation that was conducted ahead of time, whether or not it was investigation, I think, remains to be seen. But, neither here nor there. I mean, we're at a situation, guys. There was $21 million owed to Pruitt on the remainder of his contract. The way that this buyout was set up, basically he 60% of what he owed him, so that's about 12 million. And the way the contract
Dan, we lost you there briefly. Maybe we can work to try to get Dan back on the line on a more secure line. But okay, yeah, we'll try to get Dan back on the line. So, you know, John, that's interesting that it, you know, that's something that could very well come up is, hey, wait a minute, there's a clean bill of report prior to the the contract extension, which of course has been heavily criticized because we've gotten to this point since then, and then all of this during Pruitt's tenure. Did they just start doing that, or did they not look where they needed to look in order to make sure that it ended up getting clean? So we got Dan back on. So Dan, you were explaining that they would owe him 60% of the remaining buyout.
Yeah, so I apologize. So the long and short is that they would owe that they're trying to basically claw back, you know, in no money, so that he gets $0. So I guess really, you know, at the end of the day, we can kind of speculate on what this cause is supposed to be. But again, I know you guys have been hitting on it. This McDonald's rumors, whatever they are, there is a lot of smoke here. So I could see there a for cause situation being created.
So Dan, what could, with Jeremy Pruitt now challenging that buyout, what could come out of it? I mean, could Jeremy Pruitt start and his defense team basically start throwing a whole bunch of other people under the bus at the university, or threaten to do so as a way to try to make sure they get more of their money back? Like, what can come out of Pruitt fighting that buyout?
So a couple things. I know people are saying this is destined for a courtroom. It might be. I mean, I'll read you guys. This is where I think the contract is going to set up for some fireworks. Basically, for cause firing is allowed if he engaged directly in conduct likely to result in an NCAA finding of a level one or level two rules violation, or, you know, alternatively, if someone who reports to him engaged in conduct that constitutes a level one or level two violation, and the university determines that Pruitt was negligent in his oversight or lacked reasonable preventive compliance measures. So, you know, Vince, I had mentioned to you offline, I thought the contract, and this is just me saying this, the contract was drafted a little poorly, because if you just read that, I don't really know what's likely to result in a violation until it actually happens. I don't know if a university is going to determine that Pruitt was negligent in his oversight. Those are not black and white terms. Those are gray kind of terms in the middle. And if for Pruitt's purposes, if there is no violation that results, right, he might have a case here to say there was no cause, right? And maybe the university tries to say that he was negligent in his oversight. But a mediator, an arbitrator, an independent person might disagree with that. So, you know, his lawyer's coming out firing and basically saying that they're challenging it, that there was not cause. And until there was a violation that's actually rendered here, he kind of has a colorable argument.
Dan, always great to talk to you. Certainly appreciate your time. And it is interesting that you can have that differentiation, because the NCAA kind of changed its approach after there were coaches that had seen titles and banners vacated at previous stops because, oh, I had no idea any of this was going on. The NCAA took the stance that just because you may not know about it or have an active hand doesn't mean you're not free from the penalty, which could be placed on your shoulders or at your feet. But it's interesting, but that's not as black and white as you were just spelling out, that if a coach can show that he had no, I guess it's hard to prove a negative, if it can't be proven that he had an active hand in it, that could be something that changes the wording of a contract in terms of whether or not he's due a buyout, correct?
Correct. And then I also just note, I mean, we're all having a lot of fun with on Twitter with the McDonald's allegations, but at the end of the day, these are allegations, right? You can't convict someone on purely allegations. And as much as Dan Patrick is a respected journalist, and as you know, he doesn't always get it right. I mean, I remember during the Big Ten saga, he had the vote wrong, right? Whatever his source was a little off. So, you know, keep it with a grain of salt. Everyone's entitled to, you know, I mean, it's not necessarily a court of law, but the presumption of innocence until proven guilty. These allegations are really, you know, there's a lot of smoke. There's a lot of, you know, meat to it. But, you know, we don't really know until these actually come to bear. So that's why you might see this go to arbitration. What, you know, if I'm Pruitt's attorney, what I would try to do is threaten, you know, depositions, right, which is, you know, is being threatened on Twitter. We're seeing that seems to be his progress. But Tennessee's not going to want this in a courtroom. They're not going to want this playing out through the media. So a private arbitration, a private mediation, maybe this thing settles, guys, for maybe $3, $4, $5, $6 million, not the full 12. But that's kind of where I think Pruitt's attorney's trying to take this.
And then this could be something that hangs over the Tennessee program until it does get either worked out between the two sides and a mediator, or if indeed, I mean, Tennessee is in that position where you don't necessarily want anybody to say, well, not only are they wrong about this, but here are some real skeletons in their closet. This could be something that really hangs over the next AD and the next coach for a while, couldn't it?
Right. And then here's also just the human element of it. I mean, we've litigated the Colin Kaepernick situation over and over. There is a price to pay by suing, biting the hand that feeds you. So Pruitt may also be calling a little bit of a bluff here on, there might be a bluff to be called on him. Why would he sue the University of Tennessee if he really wants to get another job in college football? Maybe it's not the best to sue your former employer, right? Maybe you'd like to end that on amicable terms. So, private mediation is, if this was my case, this is what I'd be angling it towards. Get this out of the public spotlight. Get it into a private room. Get some settlements. No one has to see what these amounts are. That's why you hear that fancy term, undisclosed amount. And this thing goes away, and people kind of forget about the stink that's left on Pruitt from the situation. So, again, it's a big ask for Pruitt to sue the university that he's been with for 3 years if he wants to remain employed in college football in those ranks, that fraternity. So it's by no means an easy calculation, but, he's got 12 million reasons to really file this lawsuit.
Sports attorney and legal analyst Dan Lust joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at SportsLawLust here on Sports Talk. Vince Ferrara and John Wilkerson. So, Dan, is there anything with the timing of this that could play a role? Like Chancellor Plowman mentioned in the press conference on Monday that the investigation wasn't over yet. Yet they made these determinations. Also with the attorneys in that firm that was hired, they were hired back not long after this all started, or they got tip on it in November. So if you're hiring a firm at that point, what do you know at that point? So anything from a timing standpoint that can play a role on ultimately how this would play out?
You raise an interesting point. I haven't seen the provision. I've just seen what's been reported on the contract. Let's say there is a world, right, which I could envision this. If there is something that they find, some type of incident that could potentially warrant being for cause, there can't just be an unlimited time frame. Let's say, right, guys, they find something out in 2019. They can't necessarily, unless it's in the contract, sit on that for 3 years and then on a rainy day after a 3-9 season trigger that clause. I just wouldn't think that would be, fair and just under the contract that they could just have some trigger and then, trigger it a couple years later. If you're just watching, and again, this is just common sense at the end of the day, it's not just Pruitt that was dismissed, right? It is a number of people that are leaving the organization, leaving the school. That seems to me, again, you're just reading the writing on the wall, some type of an indication that it's really, a culture, right? Maybe that's their allegation, that Pruitt failed to oversee a culture and there was stuff going on beneath him that is the issue. So that would kind of lead you to that, one of the, I think there's 30 potential for-cause firings under that contract, and one of them being if basically his underlings are doing something wrong and he's not, he's not aware of it. It's almost like, guys, way back when with the Joe Paterno, Jerry Sandusky situation. It wasn't Paterno that did the thing wrong, but maybe Paterno should have been aware of it underneath his nose. So that's, I think, kind of what's going on here, because, again, it's not just one guy leaving the organization. It's multiple people. So I think that's what it is, but the timing is peculiar. Again, a contract extension just 4 months ago, and then, he's not fired the day after the season. He's fired, a couple days after. So it doesn't look like it's an on-field thing. So, everyone's free to speculate at this point, but I think it's an organizational control if I'm just reading the writing on the wall.
Interesting. And then you may not know the details of Philip Fulmer's contract, but there are reports that are coming out from the Knoxville News Sentinel now that he may be in him stepping down when they find a replacement for him as athletic director. He may get like monthly payments up until 2023 totaling, more than $1 million. So, he said that he was the one that went to the chancellor to say that he thought it was in the best interest that he retire. So when you retire, you still are owed your contract, or does it just depend on the wording on your deal if you're the one that is suggesting stepping away?
There's a lot of different movies, but somebody gets really pissed off at work, and instead of getting fired, they quit, right? And then they don't get a severance pay. There's maybe a version of that going on here, right? He doesn't want to get fired for cause, so he goes, guys, I'm going to retire. We'll just call it a day. It has nothing to do with what went on. I'm just going to retire. And it's a good, interesting point you raised. If you're fired for cause, you lose a lot of rights and obligations that would otherwise be going to. But if you retire, right, you're not leaving your employment on a for-cause firing. So maybe that's what's going on here. Again, I haven't seen a copy of Fulmer's contract, but just in general employment law, retiring is doing you leaving on your own terms. Maybe your pension's kicked in and whatnot. But, you can read any number of cases. there are certain acts that will divest you of certain, pension benefits or whatnot, if there's really certain bad acts. So you can imagine those type of language might have been woven into the contract, depending on how bad it was. I mean, as far as the reports have come out, it hasn't been anything directly against Fulmer, but, you know, we're looking at Pruitt's contract, and there is a level of organizational control where Pruitt can get punished, not directly for something that Pruitt did, but someone underneath him. So if the Tennessee lawyers have drafted Pruitt's contract that way, it wouldn't be crazy to think that Fulmer's contract was also drafted that way. So it's a keen observation on your part. You definitely can't rule it out.
Dan, we're up against it, but thank you so much for your insight. Please find wherever you get your podcast, Dan's podcast, Conduct Detrimental, great name as well, sports attorney and legal analyst at Sports Law Lust. Dan, great to catch up with you. We'll do it again soon. Appreciate you.
Always a pleasure, guys. Go Bills.
That's right.
Good luck.
That is Dan Lust, John.
That's right. Great to have him joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.